Well, here we are, right in the middle of the series, What on Earth Am I Here For? I pray that you have gotten the book, What on Earth I'm Here For. I pray that you're doing your daily devotionals for 40 days. It makes a huge and tremendous impact in your life if you are faithful to seek God every day. That's what this series is about, that you know why you were on this earth. And my heart for you is that you grow in that. So we're moving on with the third purpose for which we're created. The first one is it all starts with God, is that we are created by Him, for Him. He knows us and loves us and calls us His own and calls us to Him. The first purpose last week we talked about, we were planned for God's presence and for His pleasure. If you haven't watched that, go back and watch it. And here is the second purpose for which we were created. Really simple. You were formed for God's family. That's what you were formed for. You were created and called to be a part of God's family. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, here's what we see. And says, all praise to God, verse 3, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So He's already blessed us with everything that we need to live the life that He's called us to. That's what He says. And if you go back and listen to the previous two messages, you'll recognize that. Look at verse 4. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Whoa, this is huge. That means when God looks at us, He already knew us before the foundation of the world. He chose us, He loved us, and it doesn't matter what we've done, He still has a heart for us. And then verse 5, and this is so key, here it is. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. You were formed to be a part of God's family. He calls out to you and calls you son or daughter. This was His plan from before you were ever even born. We are called to be a part of God's family because of what Jesus has done. That we're made right. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So what's that like practically mean for us? That means that we are the church. So if you've been physically at our old church pre-hurricane, you recognize that wall. Because I am standing in what remains. That's why I'm sweating. There's no AC because this facility is completely not habitable at all. It's a wreck. And a lot of people were really devastated because our building was completely destroyed. And I was too. Like, that's like we put our heart and soul in making it a really great place where we could come together as the body of Christ. But I want you to know that the body of Christ isn't a building. It's a people. And you're called to first to God and secondly to God's people to be a part of His family. That is the church. Listen, God is primarily concerned all through Scripture with two things, a people and a place. And He wants you to be His people, to be a part of His family. And He has a place for you with other believers. And I believe that geography is important. That's why I'm in Lake Charles, because He called me specifically here. If we look historically, He was concerned with the tabernacle and the temple. And I think that He does care about the details of our lives. And He cares about where we live. And I believe that He cares about the home that we live in, that it's a reflection of Him. I believe that He cares about a church building. But that's not His primary focus. His primary focus is the relationship that you have with Him and you have with your Christian brothers and sisters. Listen, I'm a father. I've got kids. I want my kids to be in a nice, clean, healthy house, but I'm more concerned with the home and the relationship they have with me, with their mom, and with their brother and sister. So that's God's heart for us. So I want you to understand the power of a healthy family, and I want you to understand the power of a healthy church family. I've got four things. Here's the first one. Being a part of a healthy church family, that means a body of believers that love God and love each other, it identifies you as a follower of Christ. Not a building. You can't say, well, I go to and name the church. I go to Church of the King. Well, I go to this church and I go to that church. That's not the identifier. Being a part of a healthy church family is not about the destination that you go to on a Sunday. Being a part of a healthy church family is about you understanding what your call is, first to God and second to the people around you. Look at this. John 13:35 says this. It says, Jesus is speaking. It says, for your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Being a part of a healthy church family, that we love each other, is an identifier that Jesus said people who are far from him will look at us, and because we love our brother and our sister and we walk together in unity, that is an identifier. That's why I want you to be a part of a healthy church family, surrounded with people that love God and love you. Sadly, and you know this to be true, that a lot of churches end up divided. They end up fighting each other. Actually, Paul even in later, he says, I pray that you don't bite and devour one another as the church. We are called to show love to one another. And when people see that the love that we have for our brother or on our right or our sister on our left, they're going to say, wow, that there's something supernatural about that. We are called to love each other. It's huge. This is what we're called to. Here's the second thing. First, it identifies you as a follower of Jesus. The second thing is it moves you out of self-centered isolation. It moves you from the place where you have a tendency to be by yourself. That you're like, okay, this is me and God, and my relationship with him is so personal that it doesn't require anybody else. See, that's a biblical lie. If your relationship is so personal with God that it doesn't require other people, I don't know which God you're serving. Because God is concerned primarily about two things, about a people and a place. Where is your place with God's people? Who are you connected to? And part of being plugged into a healthy church family is that you are walking with other people. There's a simple and physical truth. You could have a big grease mark on your face right now, and unless you looked in a mirror or you had somebody else to point out, hey, man, you got something on your face, you'd never know. This is a picture of spiritually what God has for us in walking together, because other people will be able to strengthen you where you are weak. Other people will be able to see where there's something on you that it's like, oh, that's kind of gross. Get that off, man. Wipe that thing off your face, spiritually speaking, and you get to be that to other people. Look at this. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because it talks about the body of Christ. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body. In other words, listen, just like the human body has different parts, we're all different parts of the body of Christ. And we all share the same spirit. What is that spirit to be? Not a spirit of frustration or a spirit of anger, but a spirit of unity and love because of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body, and if the ear, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? In other words, stop fighting about what one person is like and what they see because they're an eye, or what they hear because they're an ear. Listen, we are all called to work together, recognizing that we are different. We are called together, but we are not called to conformity. We are called to unity, and unity is not conformity. We are going to look different. We're going to do things differently, but we should act all according to the same spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. And let me just tell you, when you are with other people, it's going to move you outside of your own self-centered isolation, because you are called to be a group, to be a part of a group of people, because we are called to reach the world, and you're not doing it alone. Nobody's doing it alone. Billy Graham didn't do it alone. Nobody's done it alone. Jesus didn't do it alone. We are called to God, and we are called to each other. We are part of a body. Maybe you say, like, well, I feel like I'm just a butt. Okay, great. You need one. Well, I feel like I'm like, whatever it is, like, what God's created you to be, just be a part of it, recognizing that you're not called just to do your own thing, that you're a part of something bigger than you, with people that God will use together in wholeness to bring his life and his light to the world around us. Anyway, that's the first one, as identifies you as a follower of Jesus. The second one, it moves you out of self-centered isolation. You were not created to do life alone. This is Genesis, where God looks at the man that he created in Adam, and he said it's not good for him to be alone. Because we need people. We need people. Here's the third thing. It helps you grow. Ephesians 4:16 says this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. That's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. Like, to recognize that we're called to be a part of a group of people. It's not this building. This building is just where we used to meet on the weekends. But what we are called to is each other so that I allow other people to help me grow. Like, what's it say? It's supposed to fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow. So here's my question to you. Are you plugged into a healthy group of believers that you are helping other people to grow, and other people are helping you to grow, recognizing that you probably both have different functions? The tactic of the enemy is to get us to look at other people that we think have a better function in the body than us, and we make it's like we devalue ourselves. Like we look at them and think they have a better function in the body of Christ. We look at a worship leader or a pastor or somebody who has an out front ministry, and we go, well, I could never be that. And you devalue what God has gifted and called you to do. That's craziness, because in the body of Christ, it doesn't work like that. Or the tactic of the enemy is to get you to think like, well, I am a, and you name whatever it is. I'm on the stage playing, or I'm working with kids as a children's pet, whatever. And you think to yourself, oh, they're just a door greeter. They don't do much. I mean, they bake cookies for people. Like, wow, that's so jacked up. Because the reality is, it doesn't matter if you're the mouthpiece for Church of the King. Like, God put me here. I'm a mouthpiece. If I'm honest, I don't particularly care for that, because it comes with a lot of stuff that I don't particularly like. But I know that's what he's called me to. But it doesn't mean that what I do as the primary vision caster, the primary communicator, that doesn't mean that I'm any better than anybody else in the body, because I'm not. We're all called to work together. And when we work together, we grow. As we go together, we'll grow together. Isn't that cool? James 5:16 says this, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's something that happens when we go together in prayer, when we go together in worship, when we go together with a heart that's humble, that recognizes that the people around me, wow, I'm no less valuable than them. We're all together as one body, and it's Jesus. Whoa. Man, that excites me. I want you to know that when you are plugged into a healthy church, when you're plugged into a healthy body of believers, that is going to identify you as a follower of Jesus, not because you say, well, I go to, but because people see how much you love God and the love between you and your Christian brothers and sisters. The second thing is, like, being a part of a healthy, life-giving body of believers, it moves you from the place of isolation, because that's where the enemy wants you, to be left into yourself. You need to be a part of people who can, a part of a body of Christ, of people who can encourage you in your walk with the Lord. You know, it's Hebrews 10:22 that says that don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but even more, encouraging one another as you see the day drawing near. That's the point of being together, to move us out of the place where we're just left to ourselves, because being left to ourselves is rarely anything good, and moved into community, a community of Christ, community of people who love one another. Why? That's the third thing, so that we can grow. And here's the fourth and final thing. This is kind of a crazy one. It's Hebrews, it's number four. It keeps us from backsliding. I've like even debated about using that term, because it's kind of weird. What does that mean? That means going back to what we used to do and who we used to be. God's called you to grow in Him, to go with purpose and identity in Him, and not to go back to where you were. Hebrews 3:13 says this, you must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. What does that mean? Really simple. We're called to reach out to those that we see that they're going back to patterns of behaviors that they themselves hated and turned from and walked in joy at some point, because we all have a tendency, and there's always a temptation of the enemy to go back to where we came from. You need people in your life. Being a part of a community of believers that encourage you and love you keep you from going back to the place that you came from. And you need that, and I need that. And I have people that I know that I'm called to encourage them. And I recognize that there are people that I need to keep close in my life because they encourage me in my walk with the Lord. Do you have that? Do you have those people that encourage you? And are you an encourager to others so that we can keep going in the purpose and the love of God in our life and not slide back into what we came out of? I need that. So do you. Look at James 5:19. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins." I'm so grateful for the people in my life that right after the storm, where everything was so terrible and this place was, you couldn't even walk in it. It was so bad. There was stuff all over the floor. Now you can at least walk through it. It was destroyed. Most people's homes that I knew had been destroyed. There was no water. There was no electricity for over a month. And that was a really hard place. And I'm so grateful in that season that there were people around me. I think of Mike and Shannon Carney in Nashville. I think of my pastors, Pastor Jacob Aranz and Pastor Eugene Reisner, that were such a voice of hope and life, encouragement, and a hand to help pull me through that. I wouldn't have made it without them. I may very well have been like a lot of people that went like, Lake Charles is peace out. But I know my call. I don't want to go back to the place where I'm driving my life. I'm a bad driver of my own life. I want Jesus to sit in that driver's seat, not me, and I need people around me that encourage me to get out of that seat, put Jesus in. You need that as well. Now, here's the truth. It's 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. The body of Christ needs you, and you need the body of Christ. I've seen a lot of people get really frustrated with church. I mean, I get it. There's frustrating things that happen in any healthy family. Even in healthy families, frustrating things happen. But I know this, whatever you focus on is magnified. Just as in any relationship, the closest relationship I have is with my wife. If I focus on the frustrations, they're only going to grow and there'll be a point of division and the enemy will use them to bring separation. This is why people end up in places in marriage they never wanted to be. This is how the enemy operates in people within godly relationships within churches. They look at a fault and a flaw in a person or even an organization and they allow that seed of frustration to fester into something that's really nasty. Jesus calls the church his bride. I don't know, maybe other married men are different, but you can't say that you want to be in a relationship with me and hate my bride. It doesn't work. I've also noticed another thing. People that are continually focused, when they give themselves to the frustration of the local church or the capital C church at all, when they give themselves to that, I've never seen one stay in the church. And here's the truth. I've never seen actually anybody continue in their faith with Christ. They lose both. Why? Because they're focused on a frustration. And what God's called us to is togetherness, first in Him and first in each other. It is not easy, but the body of Christ needs you and you need the body of Christ because He'll use you to be an encouragement to others. So here's my question. What are you giving yourself to? Are you giving yourself to Jesus and other people? Because that's what we're called to. We're called to give ourselves to Jesus and other people. There will always be difficulties and trials in that. But let me just remind you, it is worth the fight to continue the faith. And know, being a part of body of believers is the single greatest, outside of knowing Jesus personally, it's the single greatest defining characteristic of my life. And I'm here because in spite of the mess ups of all the capital C church, I know this. I love the people that love Jesus. And it's an awesome thing. Nobody's perfect. But guess what? We can all walk together. So let's do that. Your purpose, God's created you to be in His presence. God's created you to be a part of His family. Where's your spiritual family? Where's your church family? Get plugged in. You need a group of people that you can be close to. There's a doctrine in the Bible called the doctrine of laying on of hands. Like you're supposed to, when you pray for people, there's a time where you put your hands on them. Why is that? Because you need to be close enough for other people for them to be able to touch you, put their hands on you. That's both figurative and literal, and we need that. And it's difficult, but it's worth it. It's like marriage. Difficult, so worth it. Father, I just pray that we can walk together in unity and people can look at the love that we have for you and especially the love that we have for each other and that we love you and we love your bride, the church, because we love each other. Help us to walk in that and be that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go, love somebody.